For those who didn't know, some time ago, Kyle spoke with me about his call from God to the ministry. He has applied to and been accepted at Florida Baptist College. And so that's where he'll be going. He'll be going there to prepare for the ministry. And Kyle will be preaching his first sermon in our church the Sunday after Easter. Be sure that you're here. Be sure that you're here and support him in that. All right, it's a wonderful day. We've already had a wonderful day. We've had wonderful worship. But I need to take just a few moments and refresh your memory about why we're here. And I always use the same text when we baptize, Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, and I'm going to read all the way through verse 11, but we're going to be focusing on the first four verses in Romans chapter 6. Now, you've already had the sermon in a nutshell with the children's sermon. And so I hope that that was something that was meaningful to you, because all you have to do is raise that a level, and that's the same sermon we're going to talk about. Let's read together Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace might abound? May it never be. How shall we who are dead to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, that our body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for these moments we spend in your word. I pray that you might open each heart and through your spirit speak to each one. Father, fill this place with your spirit that you might have honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't think you can talk about the resurrection too much, do you? Because the Bible says if there was no resurrection, then we are without hope, most miserable of all men. And yet sometimes we need to stop and take a look and think about what the resurrection meant. And I thought about that, and I thought about Jesus. I thought, well, what did the resurrection and what did baptism in particular mean to Jesus? You know, as Jesus tried to teach his disciples about his oncoming death, he used the word baptism many times in Matthew 20, in Mark 10, Luke 12, and he asked them, are you able to be baptized with the same baptism that I'm baptized with? He was talking about the pain and the suffering of a physical death, of death. And so he associated baptism with his death. He preached a baptism of repentance. You know, John the Baptist, his cousin, had been preaching and making the way. He said that I have come to make way for him who is above me. And so he was talking about Jesus, and he was more or less clearing the path for the coming of the Messiah, his Jesus Christ. And so he preached a baptism of repentance, and Jesus certainly did acknowledge it, and he certainly did put his stamp of approval on it, on John's ministry. It was a baptism of repentance. You see, if a person is going to be born again, the very first thing that they need to do, now, God initiates the process, and through his Holy Spirit, he breaks our heart. He convicts us that the life we're living is sinful in his sight. He convicts us of the fact that we can't have fellowship with him in the condition our life is. And he breaks our heart, and we come to the point where we don't want to live another day like that. And when that point comes, we surrender our lives to him and we repent. Now, a lot of people think that it's that little 30-second prayer that says, Lord, forgive me all my sins. That's not what it is. That's not repentance. Repentance is when we literally anguish in our souls. Oh, God, I can't believe that you would even look on a person that's done the things that I've done. Oh, God, how do you let me living the way that I've lived? God, forgive me. You know, Jesus talked about a Pharisee and a publican that both stood on the steps of the temple. And the publican loved having that elevated place where everybody could see him prayer. And he prayed, and it was beautiful. And in the midst of the prayer, and he says, and I thank you also, Lord, that I'm not like this publican, sinner. And the publican bowed his head down, he beat on his chest, and he said, God, forgive me. God, forgive me, a sinner. Until you come to the point where you say, there's not a thing in the world I can do except just fall on your mercy. God, forgive me. And come to the cross. So that's pretty much what Jesus believed about baptism. The early church had some beliefs about baptism also. Of course, they linked it to repentance. I thought about old Peter's first sermon. Well, actually, Peter's only sermon. Peter only had one sermon. He got it out and dusted it off and preached it every time he had opportunity. But every single time, this is what he said. He said, repent and let each of you be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of his Holy Spirit. That was the apostolic preaching. That was the preaching that the church was founded on. That was the preaching that on the day of Pentecost brought 3,000 people into the church. And that's the kind of preaching that you need to hear every single Sunday. You know, the church linked baptism to repentance. They used baptism as a confession of their faith. Simply the way that I talk to the children down here, as you go under the water, you confess that you've surrendered your life. You've died to the Lord Jesus, and you've been raised to newness of life. The Bible says that when you're saved, old things pass away. Behold, all things have become new. And so as you think about that, the church then took that as your confession of faith. We still do today to a great deal. Church also marked that as an entry point to the church. The first step, if you will, in obedience to the Lord. You know, the Lord gave the order, gave the marching order to the church in Matthew 28. And part of what he said was, go to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so the order to the church is to baptize believers as they come into the fellowship. And the church also believed in the cleansing power of the baptismal waters. Now, the reason they believed in that is because they believed that when you were baptized, you died just like Jesus did. You died to what he did. You died to sin. And when you emerged, you were clean and white. Now, let's take just a second and finish up with what the text says. First of all, and we've already talked about it being a picture of burial under the water into his death. Now, I'm going to tell you something, and if you don't remember anything else, that's fine, but think about this. Salvation is the free gift of God, but you must go to the cross to get it. You can't get it anywhere else. You can't get it anywhere else. I mean, picture, if you will, the most desirable thing in the whole world and being sold in one store. And there was no internet sales. If you wanted it, you had to go get it. Oh, sure, there were knockoffs. And there are a lot of knockoffs from true Bible-believing Christianity. People will preach what'll tickle your ears. That's what Paul said would happen in the last days. But I want you to know, at the end of the day, salvation is the free gift of God, but you must go to the cross to get it. Secondly, the cross is where Jesus won the victory over sin, death, and the grave. One of my favorite passages of Scripture, and sometime I'm going to bust a blood vessel reading it, is in 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 55, it says, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to know something. Anybody can say anything they want about how this world is going to end up, and there's all kinds of theories and thoughts, and I don't care. At the end of the day, we win. Christians win. We have victory. The Bible says that each believer, having already surrendered their life at the cross, then literally experiences the death of the old man of sin. The Bible says that our life is now hidden with Christ in God, in Colossians. And so then we are raised with him, the passage says, to walk in newness of life. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. You can kneel before God, beg forgiveness, God, forgive me, a sinner, and be raised to a newness of life that will never end. Or you can just die like everybody else. And that's your choice. Let's pray together. Father, I pray this morning that your word might take root in hearts. I pray that there might be a harvest of precious people that would come to Jesus. But most of all, I pray that in all of this, you receive honor and glory. Truly, truly, you're worthy. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to stand quietly and prayerfully. And the invitation is very simple. If you need to profess Christ as your Savior and need to come to Jesus now, if you have a need to surrender your life to Jesus, you need to come now. If you have a need to be right with Jesus, you're not what you should be and you know it, then you need to come to Jesus right now. You don't ever come to me, you don't come to this church, you simply come to Jesus. And that's the invitation. Will you come? Will you put aside your pride and just step out? Come to the Lord Jesus. I'll meet you at the front. I'll pray with you. I'll help you if I can. But it's not me you come to. You come to Jesus. Praise team's going to sing a hymn of invitation. And I invite you to come.